Good afternoon, good day, everybody, wherever you're from, and welcome to another episode of Rise from the Ashes podcast. I am so excited to introduce my next guest. He is phenomenal in his field with over 30 years experience in changing lives and impacting others. His name is Tony, and he is a high impact coach. I'll let him, as always, introduce himself because I am dyslexic, for those people who don't know, and I don't read very well. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony, please introduce yourself to the world and what you do.
Hi, Bas. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be of service to all the people who will be listening to the podcast. My name is Tony J. Salimi. I'm an award-winning and best-selling author, a transformational coach, both life and business, and executive coaching, who specializes in human behavior and maximizing potential, power, and purpose. Because deep down, every individual has those three things born with. But majority of my clients are CEOs, are leaders, are entrepreneurs, are authors, speakers, scientists, royals, and high-achieving individuals who deep down want to serve significant amount of people. And as a result of that, have significant amount of personal, relationship, professional, business, leadership, and financial challenges.
I love that. And you've covered about everything that I was going to say and follow up with. So thank you. It just saves me talking. In your career, there's always an epiphany story. There's always a mind-blowing career story made you jump into the leadership and service that you are today. Were you able to share that story or parts of that story?
Yeah, sure. Unfortunately, I can't give you just one story because every decade in my life I've been challenge after challenge. And as you probably rightly know yourself, when you go at the bottom of the ocean, and then you surface again, you're thinking like you're not going to go back again. And you're doing it almost like every decade, there's this catastrophic events that happens. But the biggest one was when I was one of the top engineering universities in Croatia, Zagreb. And the civil war fell upon us. And I was taken straight from university, trained to be a soldier to fight in a civil war deep down this fight. So over 14 months, I lived my day. I'm not going to have another second. My life was saved, and then I find myself homeless on the streets of London. I went from not being able to really comprehend the fast dynamics and the trauma and everything that happened in the war, and suddenly I'm in a new country with no roof over my head, nobody to seek help to. I couldn't speak English. I have no education because the war fell upon us. My identity crushed. And a lot of the people that I loved murdered and killed. So I had a lot on my plates to digest. And this is the first part that took me into the healing journey of thyself and healing myself before I could comprehend how can I turn this event around and how that can help me. But the biggest one that made me go into being a coach and specializing in human behavior, emotional intelligence, as well as bring healing modalities into my body of work was during the financial crisis in 2008-2009, where I spent almost 10 years in a job to build an excellent career, excellent income, and a great team to work with. And suddenly, I was given the task, not only I'm going to be redundant, but I had to make half of my workforce redundant and go through those efficiencies. And having done that and been made redundant, it made me realize that I had no control over my life, that the economy was controlling my life, that the employment people who would deploy me would control my life, that the banks would control my life, that events outside of me were controlling the happiness within me and what I can or cannot do with me. And I remember going to for the first time in my life, going to the job center and saying how they can help me. And this is like you're talking about an executive who worked as a senior technology executive delivering multi-million and later on billion-pound technology transformation programs, and you're going to a job center not equipped to deal with high-level executives. So as I'm queuing in that queue, me, like you probably noticed, I love talking to people, stories, everybody telling me their predicaments, everybody telling me how they cannot feel their children, pretty much started to feel the pain of people from different walks of life being in the same situation just because of the financial crash. And having waited for a couple of hours, when they gave me the paperwork to fill, and when they said to me, I'm going to get £5 a week. I'm looking at them and I said, so what was the point of me paying almost over $1 million over 20 years in taxes when out of my own, I would say, I didn't cause the financial crashes, okay? And I'm coming here for help, frankly, to find me a job or support me during this period. And £65 wouldn't even bring me milk and bread for the week. Forget about your payment for your like daily stuff or paying your mortgage or the bills. We're talking about, you can't even buy a coffee every single day with that kind of money.
Yeah.
So I took all the paperwork, shredded out. I went out, I went on my knees, went up, and I looked at God, whether you believe or not. I said, show me the way. Clearly, I accumulated 2 decades of wisdom. And clearly, even if I have one person, it'll be much more worth than £65.
Yeah.
Literally, as I'm walking towards home, I was stopped for healing work from people who know me in my neighborhood. And back then, I had certain prices. And straight away, that week, I made more money than my entire salary. So for me, it was about really stepping back from the traumatic event and then looking within and saying, what problems can I solve for people? And then becoming extremely clear. So those are the two events. I want to mention the third event. Third event is fast forward. I was given a job to manage £8 billion technology transformation programs. And of course, I jumped quite a lot. But I had a lot of human behavioral skills and psychology and stuff like that to be able to manage that kind of program. And what I discovered a few months down the line, that the person who was hired to do the same job as I was doing was being paid 10 times more than they were paying me. And that was defining moment to own my worth. I delivered that job. I stopped. I started my coaching training business. I invested in a little mini MBA program. I published my work and I've never looked back for the last 13 years now.
That's an incredible 3 consecutive stories, but each one of them is a defining moment within your life to truly level up and believe within your inner power. And that proves in many different ways for the people listening to this now that these things are possible. You went from being a soldier, not liking what you were doing and being trained to what you were doing, into running a very successful company in incremental stages over a period of time. But nothing ever happens overnight. Is there anything that you can share with the audience that is a powerful story within your company that defines the level of service that you give and provide for your clientele, whether it be a company or an individual?
Great question. Thank you, Baz. It's very difficult to put into words the kind of results and benefits my client have, because if I were to ask you a question, what value would you put on your life? And everybody who works with me, after I ask them 3-4 questions, the value comes price. For instance, to give you an example, one of the clients I work today, he works in the oil and gas industry. Like yourself, he had a lot of addiction. He had pure OCD and had many things. We're talking about a client who's been with me now for 8 years. He was having many medications trying to manage all those conditions. So he came to me to see me on the day when he tried to commit suicide and wanted to end his life. Now, fast forward 8 years down the line, he's a senior manager now within the oil and gas industry. He does not take any form of drugs. He's been fully sober for the last 5 years, hasn't touched a drink, anything like that. Changed his life around and grow his salary by 7 times. Yeah. That's just one of the clients.
Yeah.
So if I take then other clients, let's say I take one of the guys who run a big technology company. So I took his company from 3 million to 50 million within 3 years. But not only that, I started working with his children. One of them was having depression and anxiety issues. Then I started working with his wife. They had some kind of complex within the marriage. Now, if you look at the complexities of somebody who wants to achieve a lot, you only have a certain amount of time. And then if you have distractions and you have conflicts in other areas, it will take you away from the chief aim you may have, from something which is very important to you. So wise people and wise clients are people who love to delegate problems. So this is why the clients delegate those problems to me, so I can help them so they can remain focused on the things that they want and being able to consistently level up those areas and being able to create that harmony and environment in which they can continue to thrive. with every client that I do, it's my work is very customized. Because one thing I realized why I worked in technology, why I worked for others, I invested a lot of money in training like Tony Robbins and Brian Tracy, Joey Vitale, and all of the top figures out there. And with some of them, I work privately, and now some of them hire me. What I realized is that people can become strong in one area, but if you are weak in other areas, other people will overpower you. As a result of that, you again lose your confidence. You will lose your credibility in yourself, and you'll feel insecure about yourself, and you will not be able to shine the light within that power you're talking about in a way that other people say yes to you.
I love it.
I mean, many people who have invested a lot of money in various technology, but their business is struggling. And then I meet many people who have the business amazing, but they don't have a date. They don't have a wife. They don't have anything that they truly want. So for me, it's about helping my clients with this wholeness approach and do customized work, coaching and training and mentoring in a way that effectively addresses my clients' problems, but also creates a path, a strategy, and a detailed plan for a vision beyond oneself, beyond 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, and what they want to leave as a legacy.
I love that. And I love the way you're framing it as in it's a whole approach, not just it's this way and that's it. Because many people who I have conversations with just say, I do this. And they limit themselves to that lane. What you've provided then is a whole view, a broader view, and a much conceptualized point of action points to go, this is how you change. This is how you go from where you are to that next level. And then you make sure and you hold them accountable and do all the rest of it to go with it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And most people, there's the saying out there, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. My high-end program, which we're discussing before we started this podcast, Climb Greater Heights, Vital Planning for Elevated Living. Mm-hmm. So in there, there are many sections, both when it comes to psychology, both when it comes to emotional intelligence, but then every aspect of internal mechanisms that drive you and how to really synchronize those in a way and transform your psychology and upgrade your psychology in alignment with the kind of results the client wants. And then create a detailed map and a road journey that it's not overwhelming for them because they can see the future. Like the client I just saw before you, I can mention his name, Dr. Garbelli. He's been also my client for 8 years now. So when he started working with me, it was all about addressing the day-to-day stresses working for the NHS. And I don't have to share in here. Everybody knows what's going on in the NHS. including being overworked, burned out, stressed, and stressed for resources, and not having enough doctors and nurses, and being paid really bad money for the incredible work they do. Now, when he started, we were addressing those issues, and we're addressing behavioral issues around how the coping mechanism when it comes to addiction and all of that fit in within a stressful environment. So having helped him with all of that, the next thing, during that journey, I looked at this guy and I said, this guy has such an incredible wisdom. He can be so much more effective being a thought leader in the medical field than just being a doctor. So I started to plant the seed in his head. And he's trusted me on that journey. So if you go back during COVID, you know what happened during COVID? While many people were overloaded, he used every holiday he had to come with me into locations back then where they opened because we had all those travel corridors and my entire business had to be addressed. And we continued the work. And in one of them, we were in Cyprus. This is where, you know, doctors have also this regulated environment and they have to be very careful what they share. I managed in 5 days to extract out of him a book that pretty much summarizes every issue within the healthcare industry, not just UK, but globally. Meaning, I created the structure for him to be able to see how everything he told me, because usually people who see me online, they will see a room full of like Albert Einstein drawings around me with my clients. That's what usually happens in those 5 incredible days that clients book in. And then eventually the picture started showing up for him. Suddenly he became confident. Oh my God. Yes, I do know those things. Yes, I can be of service as a thought leader within NHS. And globally. And yes, I can help other doctors who either commit suicide, which is the worst case scenario, or they leave the profession or migrate to other countries just to find a nurturing work environment. This is how the idea of the Doctor's Voice book was created 3 years ago. And last year we published it. And since it got published, it's got already 14 awards. Because I've gone with that journey with seven of my books, and now I can help people create that and establish a very big foundation of growth and also purpose and vision. Necessarily, many clients don't really know what they want. They don't really know what is it that they can do. So this is why I always say we all need a mirror to each other. Yeah. And people who can, they definitely invest in their best coaches so they can have somebody not only bounce ideas, but a great coach can extract out of you the things you can see. Mm-hmm. And it can monetize it in a way it can serve many people.
Yeah, I love that. And that's amazing. It's an amazing gift to have and be able to see an overview perspective on an individual's limited view of a situation. Because when you, we all know when we're in a situation, we don't see the potential of that. So you have a gift of seeing an overview of it and then getting them there in a period of time, which is amazing. And I love the way you frame
it. Yes, a minute of time, because people who, no matter what job you do, but people have this expectation nowadays because technology, in a way, it programmed people in a very disempowering way. There's a saying from our language, say, if you don't know what's good, ask what's expensive. And also, those who rush, fall. I'm not sure if English use that. And for me, the process that I take my clients, when they start working, booking a consultation, that's the first thing that they do. Because without me having a consultation, and it's a paid consultation, they value my time, I value the investment. I can understand what is it I can do for this person. And then when they ask me which program, for instance, or how long will it take me? And my question back at them is, how far do you want me to take you?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are used to these quick results and then they lose everything.
And that's a distinction of where you've put it there is how far are you willing to go, basically, and how much time are you willing to invest, not in you, but in your...
Time, energy, money. The three Correct. Things that we can pretty much use to bring into this world anything our soul is driven to bring.
I love that. I love this conversation. When it comes to resilience, and I know you've probably got 1,000 stories about resilience and how resilience is formed, is there anything that stands out to you that makes resilience someone really resilient?
Yes. It all goes back to behavioral science, Bas, mm-hmm. Because we all have the capabilities. We all have those traits that we admire in others. But as you quite pointed out, most people cannot see that in themselves. They perceive that it's lacking in them. The first part when I do with people, I see the usual behaviors in resilience, or if you feel you're not resilient, it's some form of fear and avoiding behavior. And that tells me quite a lot when I start digging deep within the client. What is it really avoiding? Okay. And this is pretty much because they are used in that way of living their life through their amygdala, through stress responses. Whatever is happening on the outside, they react and then they go through that. But in long term, they could end up creating a lot of pain. So the work I do with them is pretty much being able to awaken the rest of the brain and your frontal lobe and frontal cortex and build a visionary brain. And visionary brain loves the unknown. So when it comes to something that we resist, we find a way, or you get a great coach to push you through that. And unless you're willing to go through that, your resilience is not going to build. If we're taking a child when it's born, when it cannot walk, if the child doesn't go back and fail and fall and hit himself and cry and everything else, they'll never be able to learn to walk. But somehow most adults forget something as basic as that when it comes to themselves. So resilience is really built by taking an action where your entire body says don't.
I like that. So that brings me to my next question. In your experience, what is the difference between resilience and courage? Because there's people mix this up a lot.
Yes.
What can you give about that?
Okay. So they are both two different traits to have the courage to do something. Okay. So let's say you're a father, and let's say you have a 3-year-old child, and let's say somebody comes to the door, breaks the door, and wants to murder you. You're not thinking about resilience in there. You're thinking about courage. And it is the courage you're going to use to attack that, because your first priority in your value is to protect your child, not yourself, because that child doesn't know how to protect. So usually this is a great example for people to understand the difference. Okay. Let's say now the same father is struggling for work and he has a baby to feed. So the fact that he's done many jobs, he has already built a resilience in himself to be able to manage the situation and come out of that situation. So in this case, resilience be more dominant skill than courage.
I love that distinction. And I like the way you put it into such a real scenario for people. I mean, that in around the world, someone breaking into your house, your home, that happens on a daily basis.
It happens. Yeah. And basically, the reason I use a lot of metaphors and stories, the brain has a much better, I would say, ways to remember and grow when you give both the emotion, the vision, and the, I would say, the insight. And if you take the vision and the emotion and insight, the person, when you bring this together, they will have much more chances to remember it.
Yeah.
So I embody this in my teachings. I even created a course called Overcoming Your Resistance to Change, How to Adapt and Thrive Through Uncertainty. And I launched it a couple months ago on Udemy, and people can go and download it. But it's a very comprehensive, I would say, course that takes you through the entire psychology and understanding you, why you behave the way you behave.
I love that. And I'm actually going to go and get it after this, by the way.
You'll enjoy it, Baz. You'll enjoy it. I have some great comments so far.
Yeah, I'm genuinely going to go and get it after this. When we look at defying impossibility, or the word impossibility, people say, oh, you can't do it. You have all these naysayers in your life. If you've had that experience, what was your experience with the people around you in that environment going, you can't do it, you're wasting your time? And how did you prove them? We know how you prove them wrong. We get that bit. But what was that internal struggle with you? Was it just, I'm not doing, not listening to you? Or was there a battle within you going, are they right? Oh, my God. Was that self-doubt, being a human being, was it there? And how did you overcome that?
Okay, great question. Absolutely great question. Something that everybody, by the way, battles at, no matter where you are in your life. Mm-hmm. Because every time there's a change that happens, every time you and your soul is ready to grow, and we're talking about significant growth or change that happens in our reality, whether you are going through midlife crisis, or you're going through divorce, or you're going from job into starting a business, or you build a business and you go somewhere else, there will be element of that. The naysayers out there will always exist, always. And also, there'll be part of us, which is 50% a naysayer. And there's a part of us, which is 50% yes-sayer. The more we resonate to the naysayers within us, the more we attract those people into our life to awaken that we can do it.
I love that.
But if you're asking me, how did I respond 20 years ago without having all this knowledge that I have today, then I would say, the battle inside of me was very strong. Yeah. Where are they right? Am I doing something wrong? For instance, when I left the corporate world 14 years ago, I started my business, and having obtained a degree with honors in engineering, management, and organizational behavior, dual degree, and spending 15 years building an amazing career and making a lot of money, I went, you're starting from scratch. So mm-hmm. All the naysayers would be like, you're an idiot, you're a fool. That also included members of my family. You worked so hard to educate yourself, to obtain a great degree, and to go to the corporate levels. Why would you leave all of that and go here where you have nothing? That was exactly me 14 years ago. Okay. But part was, it's that deep voice within me that yeah. I wanted to bring to reality and create the body of work that I believe with all of my heart will serve significant amount of people, especially people in the top roles in the corporation that I was serving, and also friends and family and people who've gone through transition, gone through divorce, and gone through that, and find themselves lost. Because, for instance, currently I'm working with a couple of clients. I'm supporting them through divorce while I'm helping them transition from working into building a seven-figure business.
Yeah,
that will always exist, but the levels of that depend how much time you have invested and how much, I would say, coaching, training, reading, invested in you. So you accumulate the knowledge to help you better manage that when it surfaces.
I love the distinctions between having a coach or having a mentor in your life to go, this is going on and I need support doing it, and having the emotional intelligence to say, I need help. I need to elevate where I want to get to. I can't do this alone. If you want to get somewhere, you need guidance. You need that level up. You need the person that has already done it to support you on that journey. But I know.
Why do we go to the dentist, by the way, Baz?
Because we trust the person is going to fix it.
Why don't we try ourselves to take our teeth off?
Because it's going to be absolutely painful.
Usually I ask people, so why do you go to care mechanic? Or why do you go to an architect to build your house?
Yeah.
Because this notion, which I think is very toxic, by the way, when people say, oh, I can do it all myself. And then I ask them three questions and they realize they're out of debt. Yeah. And with all the beautiful things the earth provides for us, it took a man to take all the materials and create everything we see.
Yeah.
It's similar way. A great coach, great expert, great therapist, great consultant, whatever it might be, helps you to bring everything inside of you that you potentially, you don't even know you have it. And you don't even know what to do with it. So for me, since I was a kid, my parents invested in extra education because I always was ahead of any of my generation. But the moment when I came to England, I started working and I worked three jobs to pay for my own university. Part of that development, even back then, I invested in healers and therapists and coaches. And I continue to do so at a much higher level now.
Yeah.
So for me, I never stop because I honor life. Honoring life means life is constantly evolving. And similarly, that means that your own soul is asking of you to keep evolving and growing. And for that, you need a lot of wonderful people around you to maximize that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that statement. Surround yourself with the people that are going to elevate you so you can grow with them. You mentioned a couple of things, and it's encroaching into a space that I love and I love speaking about, which is the quantum mechanics, the energy behind something. Can you address that for a moment? How did you discover what you do in healing? How did you incorporate that into your daily routine and your daily life?
So I was fortunate because I was born in a family with spirituality, that both my parents had that. And one of their Sufi teachers told my parents when I was born, he's going to become a master healer and go around the world and do all the work. Okay. But at the age of 8, I fell ill and I was in hospital in a life support machine for 6 months, where the doctors told my parents, I'm going to die. My parents apparently took me back to this person. I remember vaguely. And this person said, okay, bring him in every single day for the next 6 months. And I started getting better. But what I remember from back then, it's like, here I am in this state-of-the-art hospital. And here I'm going in the mountains with not even electricity in the place where this guy was living, only with herbs and natural remedies and water and stuff like that. And the way he was healing and doing hands-on healing with me, I, as a child, could feel I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. So this is where first time I became very curious how this man who's never been to university can actually do so something significant. My being is sensing, but I couldn't put two words. And then I go in one of the best hospitals, and they're telling my parents and me that he's got days left to live. So that's where first time my curiosity around healing and understanding the unseen started for me at age 8. I've never stopped, and I studied many different methodologies, and I've done cross-disciplinary research and study when it comes to religion, and also when it comes to the way we in West approach healing and the way Eastern methodologies. So for me, then, when I was at university studying quantum physics and engineering and maths and all of that, I didn't really have the awareness how that applied at a healing level back then, because my brain was focused on science. How that applies in technology, how that applies in life, how that applies in the way we create new technologies like the high-speed internet we've created, the better mobiles and all of that. But never how that same technology exists in us. So having then invested a proportion of time, energy, and money into going and working with different healers around the world, the penny dropped to me. The more I was learning, the more I was starting linking things. And I'm very good in taking a lot of information and bringing it together. Even in my tech jobs, that's why one of the reasons they hired me, I could consolidate vast amount of data and create nice reports for people to understand. So in 2012, when I started my mini MBA, in the first book, A Path to Wisdom, How to Live a Balanced, Healthy, and Peaceful Life. So when I spent those 12 weeks in meditation, I pretty much wanted to bridge science, healing, psychology, emotional intelligence, mental being, physiology of the body, biology, with action, and to create a methodology that people can use to awaken the healing mind within thyself. Because most people don't understand the link between perception, values, beliefs, and all the information that goes into our body and how that changes the biochemistry of our body, including hormones and the different reactions, and how induced stress can create all those conditions that people end up being addicted on drugs. So the ALARM methodology has a 25 principles. And if people go through the book and write down and answer every single question in there and create their own manual, like, for instance, Buzz's Path to Wisdom, you will get so much knowledge out of there, because I use transcendental language. Mm-hmm. And transcendental language means no matter where in time, you can use that knowledge to help you. Because some of the knowledge that I've learned, it's been there for thousands of years. Yeah. But most people haven't brought it forward in a way that people understand in 21st century. Right. So the healing side of it, if you think about quantum level, you can see the micro level, which is me and you. But yeah, when you go, you take a microscope and see what really happens as a cellular level, it's actually a whole new world that there's so much knowledge and wisdom in there. When I had the naysayers around, when they said to me, oh, this is woo, has no science evidence, I asked them a question. So are you a scientist? No. But you're using the word scientist to a scientist that I spent 30 years decoding those things. And you're telling me there's no thing with no evidence that you've done any research or study around the subject. So let me enlighten you for a second. And I will ask them a question. So I would say, do you know the atom? Yes. Tell me what consists the atom. They can't even explain the three elements of the atom. So when I start drawing things for them and I start sharing how the atom is consistent of the atom, I tell them about protons, I tell them about electrons, I tell them about neurons, and I tell them about each of them has its own energy. I tell them, I go into explaining what atomic bomb is. And when I explain that to them, I said, you have billions of atomic bombs inside of you. Our body is over 75% of water. Mm-hmm. H2O, you create, and here it is, straight away, hydrogen bomb in there.
Yeah.
There's so much power in the wisdom of the body. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that people do not spend the time required. That's why excellent healers are those, for me personally, I say, those who know the science and know the healing art and bring it together. Yeah. So for me, it's essential component, Bas, to help the individual heal.
I love what the you're saying here about never stop being curious as well. Keep learning. Because people,
yeah, we have AI now, so my knowledge is already there.
And that's what I like, because there's a lot of people who get to a certain level and they think there's nothing more. You've achieved so much in your life, in your business, and knowledge, but you're still like hungry. And your passion, for people who listen to this, not watching this, go back and listen to the passion that Tony had, because that you can't replicate that. You can't fake that. This is a person that has overcome so many challenges in his life, turned them into success, built resilience, made courage, built movements, which is what I'm going to ask now. If you could build or start a global movement, not a cult or a culture, but what a global movement to change the course of the future and truly impact legacy. I know you're doing a lot of that within your work and the modalities you're working in. What would that look like for you if it was a movement for the betterment of humanity?
So all of my work is about that, Buzz. By the way, I'm getting goosebumps just the fact that you're talking about it. And deep down, if we really put our hands into our heart and we ask ourselves, why do I do what I do? And after you answer the question that you need to pay the mortgage, you need to do this and feed your kids and feed yourself and travel, there'll be an element of service. Mm-hmm. Now, if you pass those things, that element of service keep growing. Some people might have charge around wealth. And again, I can dissolve those very quickly in those people by asking them a few questions, and they become very humble and inspired to go and pursue and make a lot of wealth, because the service and the kind of problems you can solve for humanity keep growing and they'll never stop. Mm-hmm. And as humans, and if we look at nature, nature has two cycles. It has built and destroy cycle. The same cycles are represented within the body. Consistently, our body destroys existing cells and brings birth to new cells and regenerates itself fully, basically. And similarly happens in the staff. But because of our psychology and not learning the tools and being able to see life in equilibrium, we tend to resonate more to the things that we've been building biases over many years. So we might be attracted more to building, but afraid to destroy. We might be attracted more to pleasure, but not to pain. Mm-hmm. We might be attracted more to somebody with positivity, but not negativity. So this is where we become the cognitive biases that can stop many people. So my body of work is all about, because I've been writing so much, and I'm just about to bring another book called Climb Greater Heights, which is in alignment with the teachings that I do on my private clients, so more people can have access to that. And in each book, I have a methodology, and all together, it's around exemplifying human potential. Mm-hmm. Because by exemplifying human potential, this is the movement I'm creating for you to exemplify your human potential. In doing so, you can serve the world better. So the more people can do that, the more we can actually influence a future in which future generation will say thank you. And currently, we're not doing that.
No,
not individual level, because there are many wonderful individuals out there serving at the highest level of humanity. But unfortunately, we need more spiritually intelligent leaders around the world.
Yeah, and the distinction with that for me is spiritually intelligent leaders, but without the amount or level of ego that comes with in certain industries.
And I would say this, Buzz, by the way, there's also this negativity around the ego. There's two parts of the ego, the healthy ego, and there's the ego you're talking about.
Yes.
So for me, it's about being able to, I would say, manage the two egos in a way that keeps you humble and grateful.
Yeah. And that's the distinction that I was about to get to, is being in alignment with the bigger vision that you, an individual, has without straying from that path too much, because we're human, we always stray. But it's remember to realign ourselves into that heart-centered place of service, impact, etc.
And what's in your heart?
Love.
Your soul.
So, yeah.
There is the seat of your soul, and that's where love generates. Mm-hmm. And that means alignment with the divinity within. So my new documentary program, which is only for people who are 7 to 9-figure businesses, it's a year program. It's about coaching and filming them and create a unique episode for them to grow their authority, their credibility, their products, their service, and everything else. And being able to distribute that through, I already have 2 documentaries out there on Amazon, to be able to serve more people. And it's all about stepping into your divinity. Because alignment into divinity means you acknowledge the divine in each human being you come across, whether they're naysayers or yes-sayers.
I love that. And I love this conversation. There's very few conversations I have that really stimulate me into and remind me why I started out on this mission and this thing. So thank you very much for your time and love and energy here. Is there anybody, is there any way you would like to direct people to, if they want to get in contact with you? They have a 7-figure business owner coming to listen to this. Is there any way they can go to reach out to you?
Yeah. For most people who are not really ready to invest in the kind of work that I do for clients, they can start reading my books. They can go on Amazon. They can search the Google Tony J. Salimi, Tony Salimi. They can find a lot of information that I share. They can also go, I've got 2 Udemy courses. They can go to my website, tonyselimi.com, TonySelimi.com. There's a lot of information in there, what I do for people, my clients. And also they can connect with me. They can follow me on Instagram. I have a LinkedIn newsletter that I do at least 2 incredible newsletters every month. And I have a lot of readers in there that I build that newsletter readership in there. So there are many ways, but those who are ready to invest, they can reach out to my PA, Alma, info@tonyselimi.com. They can book a consultation, and I look forward to help them level up, not level up, but really significantly take their life, their business, and their service to humanity to a whole new level.
Awesome. Tony, I want to thank you for your time. I love, as I said, this conversation I love, and I could go on forever, but I want to be respectful for your time and deliver as much impact for the world within what you've just given. For those people who are listening, check out the descriptions, because the links will be in the descriptions. There will also be a blog. Check out the website. And I look forward to hearing from Tony in the future about his progress and his impact on humanity. Tony, again, thank you very much for your time and love and energy here.
Thank you, Bas, for your service.
Thank you. From myself, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. Please download, share this episode. You never know, it may change someone's life. I'm Bas Porter. And have a blessed day. Until the next time we see each other, take care.